All right, well, we're going to get into this word. It's actually a second part to dealing with the fact that Jesus told his disciples to hear his voice. And we've been talking about over the last several weeks about when God speaks to us. And I don't even remember how many weeks we went on that, but when God speaks to us. And now we're going to shift over to how God speaks to us. We talked about the fact that when he speaks to us, you know, there are certain criteria to know, to test and know whether or not it's God. And so, you know, things like it will always honor Christ and it will always be in agreement with his word and so on and so forth. And you can go back and listen to those things. They've all been put on the Facebook, Church of the Promise Facebook page. And so if you need to kind of catch up on any of that, all of that's going to be there. But also, again, this is now how God speaks to us, because there are different methods that he uses to speak to us. And so one of the main things, what we're going to really focus on today, is the fact that God is spirit and he speaks to us in spirit. And so somebody may ask you, hey, you know, do you speak Spanish? You know, or you speak Spanish? What we really need to be asking is, do you speak spirit? Right? Because that's what we really need to know. And so Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, it says, he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by what? Every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, that we live by. God designed us to live by it. It's so important, because without his word, we die spiritually. We are designed to live by every word. God created us for that. And so when we don't have the word of God, when we're not eating the word of God, like Jeremiah 15, 16, your word was found and I did eat them, and they became the joy and rejoicing of my heart, right? So if we're not eating the word, we can't possibly function the way God literally created and designed us to function, any more than a car can function without gasoline. And so Matthew chapter 11, verse 15 also says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, we used this scripture a couple of weeks ago, but of course, what he's talking about here is spiritual ears. He's not talking about our physical ears. He's talking about our spiritual ears. He's talking about, look, don't just hear what's being said on the surface. You need to be able to hear what's being said below the surface. And actually, it's above the surface in the realm of the spirit. And so he wants us all to have ears to hear. I understand. I've been pastoring long enough to know that people can hear something and not hear it. They can hear it and not hear it. I'm amazed sometimes. I mean, I really am. This is just, I guess, kind of the way it is. Somebody will come to me and they'll say something, and they'll say, oh, this was so good. I heard so-and-so say this the other day, and it was so good. And I'm like, I've said that at least 100 times with you sitting in service, right? Why? Well, because you can hear it with your ears, but it's not going to stick. You can hear it with these ears, but you have to hear it with the Spirit, and that even rhymes. So let's look at the fact that to build a relationship with God, we must hear his voice. We must. We cannot possibly have a living, breathing, strong relationship with God if we're not hearing his voice. And that's why Jesus commanded it. He knew, look, guys, if you're going to be living in this world, especially if you're going to be serving God and his kingdom, you better be able to hear his voice. And so of all the voices out there, his is the only one that really matters, okay? Even when someone else is speaking to you, you really want to hear what God is saying through that person, okay? That's why it's dangerous to ask people's opinions. I tell people this all the time. You know, I'm a human being. I have opinions. And if you come and ask me my opinion, you're liable to get my opinion. But can I tell you, you don't want my opinion. What you want is, what does God have to say about this? What does the Lord say about it? What is God's opinion? Because his is the only opinion that matters. And so, again, that's a vice versa thing. I don't want your opinion either. I only want, what is the Lord saying, right? So God, I believe, is speaking 24 hours a day. How many of you know God don't sleep? How many of you know that at 10 p.m., from 10 p.m. to 6 p.m., God doesn't shut off the communication lines? He doesn't put a do not disturb sign on the door. God is always speaking 24/7. He never sleeps. He doesn't sleep. So he's always speaking. The problem is we don't always hear. Steve Sampson said this. He said, God does not speak intermittently. We hear intermittently. You know why? We only hear when we want to hear what God is saying. And as we said, I think it was last week, many people don't hear from God because they don't really want to hear from God, because they know that God's going to say something to them that doesn't agree with their opinion, right? They don't really want to know what God wants to speak to them because they've already made up their mind they're not going to listen to him anyway. So the church has become, I believe, by and large, and I'm talking about the church at large, has become, I believe, desensitized to the voice of the Spirit. People, I think it's very rare nowadays in the modern day church for people to actually hear what the Spirit is saying. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Let's talk about that a little bit. He says, about this we have much to say. It is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Can I tell you that dull of hearing is not what we want? Dull of hearing is not what you want in your life. Again, that's Hebrews 5:11. So the Apostle Paul is saying, look, and these are church people. These are Christian people, right? So he's telling them, you know, I'm trying to explain some things to you. I'm trying to give you some revelation, but you can't catch it because you're dull of hearing. Do you know how we become dull of hearing when it comes to the Spirit? We become dull of hearing when we allow our consciences to be seared. Now, how does that happen? Well, I'm about to do that thing that I know I shouldn't do, or say that thing I know I shouldn't say. And the Holy Spirit, and everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about when I say the Holy Spirit starts saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't say that thing you're about to say. We all know how that works. Now, the way we get dull of hearing is when we ignore that, and when we do it anyway, when we say it anyway, when we ignore what he says, and then the next time that voice is a little more quiet and a little more quiet and a little more quiet and a little more quiet because we've not been listening. And then we get to a point where our conscience can't even take a hold of it anymore. So God speaks to our spirit, but our conscience really is the mode of communication that he uses, right? And a conscience, by the way, when the Holy Spirit has not invaded our conscience is broken. It doesn't work right. We'll think right is wrong and wrong is right. Everybody understand that? So, but the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to us, but many of us have become dull of hearing because we have spent so much time doing what we want to do, ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit until we can't hear him anymore. That is a dangerous place to be. Tell your neighbor, don't be dull. I want you to understand, I believe what God is trying to do in this church specifically, because this is the word that's coming to this church, but anybody that'll hear this message, and I believe it's really something he wants to do across this nation and ultimately across the world, is he wants to get his people to tune back into his voice. Because we've got so many voices coming from all around us, and it's vitally important that we hear his voice, especially parents. You need to learn to hear his voice and teach your children to hear his voice, because the deception and the delusion that is rampant in this world is only going to get more and more rampant as our generations under us come up. And if we don't teach them to hear from the Holy Spirit and to not just be led and driven by their own desires and pleasures, desires for pleasure, then we're ruining the generations coming under us. And I believe that's what much of the church is doing today. They're, instead of teaching people to please God, they're teaching people how to try to get God to please them. Can I get a bigger amen? Paul begins making comparisons of Jesus and Melchizedek in Hebrews there. And then he begins to talk about the fact that the Palestinian Christians at that time were just dull of hearing. They really weren't accomplishing very much kingdom-wise. And, you know, and he tells them, he says, look, there's so many things that God wants to speak to you, but I can't even say it because you can't even hear it. And so instead of saying many things, he ends up writing just a few things. And so many in the church today, again, are dull of hearing, and the Spirit is unable to really speak much to them. He's unable to give them much revelation. Now, I'm not saying this to down the church or degrade the church. Man, the church, the true church, the church of Jesus Christ, you can't take her down. Amen. The church of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Amen. But those that go to church, the gates of hell can prevail against if they're not in this thing with Jesus and they're just doing their own thing. So we have to learn to hear by our spirit man and not just our natural man. So Romans 10:17, and all I'm doing right here is I'm laying groundwork for this teaching. So Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. So this is not talking about hearing with our ears. This is talking about hearing with the ears of our spirit. That's where faith comes from. God speaks to spirit. So when I catch what God is saying, spirit to spirit, faith begins to grow. That's where it comes from. I can try to convince myself of something in my mind, and it took me a long time to understand this about faith. I thought that if I convinced myself of something in my mind, that was faith. That's not faith. Faith is born of the Spirit. If it doesn't come from a word from God, it's not faith. It may be some kind of belief, but it's not faith. And I had to learn that. I had to learn that through a very terrible situation that happened where I had convinced myself that this situation was going to be good. It was because I'm saying all the right things, and I said it so much that I believed it. And I remember hearing the preacher say, you know, you're going to believe yourself more. You're going to believe your own self more than you believe anybody else. So make sure you say it out loud, right? Well, there's some truth to that. But the truth is, I can say whatever I want to say out loud. I know people that lie so much they believe their lies. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So faith has to be born out of God. Because if it comes from a word from God, then it's going to be based in the will of God. And I can stand upon that and I can have faith that I'm going to see that happen. That's why I can know that if I ask anything in accordance with his will, he hears it and I have it. So Romans 10:17, though, where it talks about faith coming from hearing and hearing from the word of God, the word there is the word rhema. And, you know, of course, many of you have heard that word and had teaching on that. But it's spoken. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's not just a physical transaction. A rhema word is a word I catch with my spirit. Again, I like the way Pastor Mike Mele explains it. He says, look, the rhema, the things of God can't be taught. They have to be caught. They can't be taught to my head. They have to be caught with my spirit. So we have to understand that we are triune beings. And this is actually, it's a very foundational teaching. In fact, it's one of the very first things we deal with in the infusion course is getting to understand this. Because if you don't understand that you are a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body, then you're never going to understand the things of God. So the what you see here and what you see here in me, you see my body, you don't see my spirit. The real me is my spirit. The real you is your spirit. That's the part that's going to live for eternity. Now, we have a soul, which is our mind or our intellect, our will, and our emotions. And then we live in this body, and it takes all three of those for us to live on this earth. I like what one preacher said years ago. It stuck with me. He said, your body's like your spacesuit. It's what allows you to live here. If that thing breaks down because you didn't take care of it or something terrible happens to it and it no longer can function like it's supposed to, then you don't get to stay here anymore, right? But the spirit, the immaterial part of us, is going to continue to exist somewhere. And the scripture lets us know there's only two destinations that after we leave this earth. There are two destinations. So for many people, it's hell. For many people, it's heaven. Depending on what they chose, why they lived in the body on this earth. And so, again, we are a triune being. God wants to speak to the spirit part of us. So we are a spirit being. We have a soul. We live in a body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Won't you say those words with me? Sanctify you completely. What does that mean? To sanctify means to set you apart. There are people who believe somehow, some way, and there are preachers behind pulpits who believe that as long as you said the little prayer, as long as you ask Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive of the sins that you have committed in your past, then that's really the only thing that's important. But that's not the only thing that's important to God. Notice what it says. May the God of peace himself sanctify you, set you apart completely. Now, that sanctify means to set us apart from sin, set us apart to God. So you can't have the mindset that, well, I can have Jesus and live like the world too. No, you can't. That's certainly not pleasing to God. So he says, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, God's concerned about every facet of our lives, all three parts, our spirit, our soul, and our body. Now, I've often said the way God wants us to live is he wants us to live spirit, soul, and body, but most people live body, soul, and spirit. The cravings of their flesh dictate to them what they're going to do. Pastor Cindy was talking about that a little bit earlier, that do we have self-control? Can we say no to the cravings of our flesh? Now, let's talk about this a little bit more. Let me give you, again, I'm laying groundwork, but let me give you a little bit of teaching on this. Our body is what we call world conscious. It's world conscious. Again, we can't live in this world without it. That's why we can be in this world, but not of this world, right? But we have a body, and our body is world conscious. It is aware of what's going on around us, but it is corruptible. And it's likened to machinery in a way. How many of you know that everything is going to break down at some point in time, right? No matter what it is, whether it be a body of a person or an animal, or whether it be some kind of machine, no matter how much money that machine costs, ultimately it's going to break down. And so our body is corruptible, and it's likened to machinery, but it also is led by the five senses. People who are just simply led by the five senses live their life no different than an animal. Now, I want to tell you, this is, you know, I'm not saying this to be ugly, but many people, I might even say most people, most human beings on this planet live no different than an animal. They are not in any way connected to the Spirit of God. They are not in any way have the love of God in their heart. They completely follow whatever their five senses go after. It's lust of the flesh, right? It's dealing with that flesh. And we all have to deal with it because we all have those senses, okay? So those five senses will cause people to act certain ways, react certain ways, do certain things, go after certain things, pursue certain things, all based on those five senses. And those senses are powerful, right? This is why things like pornography is a terrible problem, because people are led by those senses, what they see. This is why food is a terrible problem. Can I get a bigger amen? Right? Because we're led by those senses. Anybody ever, I walk into the kitchen from time to time, Cindy will be cooking something, and I walk in and I go, first thing I notice, something smells good. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever go by where there's a bunch of restaurants in town and you hadn't eaten supper yet and you smell, boy, you smell them steaks cooking. You smell, man, you can smell it, right? It causes them senses to come alive, right? And so, again, people that live by the five senses live no different than an animal. They don't live as someone that is in any way led by the Spirit, and it simply just operates in the physical realm. Now, God knows what he designed when he designed our body, but he also knows how to keep that body under the control of the Spirit. And so our kids, listen, people shouldn't be surprised. And I've said this many times, but people really shouldn't be surprised when on the news you see another kid or a couple of kids went into a school and just shot people up and pipe bombs and all kinds of stuff. We shouldn't be surprised when that kind of stuff happens in a culture where our educational system teaches these kids that they're nothing more than animals, that there's no afterlife, there's no God to be accountable to, right? We shouldn't be surprised when those things happen. And then when that very kid will take a gun to their own head and blow their own brains out, because after all, there's no consequences. All these kids in school made me mad. I wanted to go out in a blaze of glory. I wanted people to remember my name. We shouldn't be surprised that people act that way when this is what they've been taught, because they're taught to simply be driven by their own body, their own flesh, their own desires. Now, that also is closely tied with the second one, and that is our soul. Our soul is what we call self-conscious. That means it is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our soul just simply is, our soul is really just trying to keep us alive. Our soul is the immaterial part of us that is self-seeking, right? Our soul, our mind and our will and our emotions, many times we will make decisions based on looking out for self. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Our feelings are all about self. So our emotions cannot be trusted, because our emotions are really all about self when it comes down to it, unless the Spirit of God is involved. I'm talking about on a purely, you know, natural level where God's Spirit is not there. It operates according to feelings and reasoning. The soulless realm, apart from the Spirit, is completely boxed in on what is natural, what is rational, what makes sense. And people that live their life in that box will never see the supernatural and the miraculous happen in their life, because they've limited themselves to that box. And they will do whatever their emotions tell them to do. How many of you know emotions lie? Anybody know emotions lie? Anybody ever had a dream, ever had a bad dream, and it just wrecked your day when you woke up in the morning because you had a bad dream? Why? Your emotions are all wrapped up in it. You know, that person did this to me in the dream, and you're mad at them in real life now, right? It affects your emotions. You know, emotions, they cannot be trusted. God gave us emotions, but he gave us those emotions to serve him. And so if we're simply led by our own mind, our own rationale, our own choices, and our own emotions, we're always going to make a bad decision. So, by the way, in the realm of the will, and this is what's so important that we understand, that when we live spirit, soul, and body instead of body, soul, and spirit, it's so important that we understand God wants to use our soul. That's why our mind needs to be renewed, so that now that soul will line up with the spirit instead of with the body, the flesh. Everybody understand that? That's why God wants us to do as Jesus did and say, not my will, but yours be done. What am I doing? I am literally giving my soul over to him now. This is why the scripture has us praise and worship and use our emotions for the Lord instead of using our emotions for that which is evil, right? It's getting that soul now in alignment with the spirit instead of the other way. And most people live body, soul, and spirit instead of spirit, soul, and body. Okay, so our spirit, number three, our spirit is God conscious. God does not communicate with our head. He communicates with our spirit. It's so important to understand that. We've taught on that quite a bit. But you have to understand that your brain, the Bible says that it's the mind of man, if it's not renewed, is at enmity with God. It is our enemy. This is one of the reasons why it's so important. We understand it is the human spirit that communicates with God. It's not our mind. People that are very, very, very analytical have a very hard time with this, because they think they got to understand everything before they move forward. I want to tell you, that'll keep you out of the supernatural and miraculous. God lives outside the box of our understanding. He's not limited to our understanding. He's trying to get us out there with him. And that's what revelation is, okay? And so Our spirit is God conscious. He wants to speak to us. And like I said, he's speaking all the time. We're just not listening all the time. No matter what situation we may be in at any time of the day, God is speaking to those who will listen. So heavenly communication happens in the spirit realm. God is spirit. He speaks to spirit. Deep calls to deep. So, by the way, this is why it's so important. You've heard me say this before, but I pray in the spirit way more. And when I say that, I pray in tongues way more than I pray in English. Why? Because I know this thing right here. I know how this brain works. I know that my brain can very, very easily, my own natural thoughts can very, very easily begin to come against that which God wants to do. Why? Because it's out there in the impossible land, right? And so I pray in the spirit for a couple of reasons. First off, because the scripture lets me know it's always his will that I'm praying. That when I'm praying in the spirit, I'm praying the perfect will of God. If I'm praying the perfect will of God, he hears it and I have it, right? And so I trust the Holy Spirit a whole lot more than I trust my own brain. So people get freaked out about that. Well, I don't know about all this tongue stuff. And what's the purpose of that anyway? And what good does it really do? Just babbling, blah, blah, blah. What is all that about? They have no idea. Why? Because spiritual things are spiritually discerned and they can't grasp it because they're dull of hearing. But I pray in the spirit more than I pray in English. For one reason, I've heard preachers say the devil can't understand it. Well, that may be the case. I don't know that for sure. I know he knows a lot. I don't know whether or not he understands it or not. That may be the case. But even more important is I don't understand it because I'm the one that'll mess it up. The moment I begin to pray something, especially in the realm of the impossible, my brain's already screaming, "You idiot, that can't happen. That's not going to happen. That's impossible. Don't you know that's impossible?" Right? We all should understand that. If you don't, that means you've never prayed for the impossible, right? But immediately your brain is going to go against it. It's at enmity against God. So I love to pray in the spirit because I can't even understand myself. And so that's a good thing. That means I can't mess it up, right? Now, I do believe I can be led to pray by the Holy Spirit in English. In fact, I believe all prayer should be led by the Spirit, right? Even if it's in English. But there's something powerful about that prayer language, and many people don't get it. Many people don't understand, and I encourage people, pray in the Spirit all the time. Pray in the Spirit on a regular basis. Pray in the Spirit. Again, I do that way more than I do praying in English. So the human spirit is what communicates with God, and especially now that the human spirit has been infused, if you've been born again, the human spirit has been infused with the Holy Spirit. And we yield to him and we let him do the interceding. But he uses my mouth to do it. Why? Because everything he does on this earth, he wants to do in partnership with us. All right, so anything that God speaks to you is not a product of your own reasoning or thought processes. And this is kind of a little test. Typically, if it's just something I can think up, it probably wasn't God. You know, we can think of all kinds of things, right? But that's why the scripture tells us he wants to do more than what we can ask, think, or imagine, right? So anything God speaks to you, it's not a product of your reasoning and thought processes. And many people live their lives, even Christian people, live their lives totally, completely within the box, totally, completely lean into their own understanding, making their own plans, trying to do things their way to fix this and fix that. And so you can't do that. Listen, God wants us to live where we have to have him doing the impossible. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." Somebody ought to say, thank God. Your spirit man resides deep within your being. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, and we're going to be wrapping up here pretty quick. "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Now, in verse 39, "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So he's talking specifically about the Holy Spirit flowing rivers. in and through our hearts. And of course, the heart is talking about the actual word. The meaning of the word there in the Greek is koilia, and it means belly, womb, heart, innermost being. It's God's way of saying the spirit, the innermost being, the innermost part of me. Okay. So notice that Jesus didn't say, out of your head will flow rivers of living water. Can I tell you, out of our head flows a whole lot of sewage, though. I've met people who absolutely, completely are so stuck, nothing but what their mind can possibly comprehend. That's it. It's where they live. I remember sharing a miracle about my mother's kidneys getting healed, sitting in a service just during praise and worship, and her kidneys suddenly went from, I think it was like 39%, if I'm not mistaken, up to 100%. I mean, like in a day, verified by the doctor. And I was sharing that, and a guy's answer to me, and this was sitting in a church, not this church, but a church. And his answer to me was, yeah, boy, it's amazing the power of the mind. That was his answer. I said, no, it's amazing the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's amazing. The power of God is what's amazing. It's not the power of the mind. And so your spirit is not in your head. Your spirit is you. It is your core. And it's the part that God communicates with. And so many people don't get that because they're bound in the box, four walls. And so it's not made up of physical matter. It's of the unseen, not the seen. Now, I'm going to do this, just this little exercise, and we're going to end it right here. But everybody in the room, some of you know what I'm going to do because I've done this before. But everybody in the room, I want you to take your finger, and I want you to point to yourself. Everybody in the room, point to yourself. Everybody in the room, point to yourself. While you're pointing, while everybody's pointing, look around the room. Now, look at where they're pointing. Is there anybody in this room, pointing at their head? No. Instinctively, we know the real me is here. It's the depth. It's the spirit man. It's not here. Why do we lean to this? Why do we trust in this up here when God told us not to? So again, just today, just laying the foundation for the rest of this teaching. I will begin next week, and we'll begin to talk about the first one, and we're not going to get into the teaching of it now, but number one, we'll begin to talk about the witness of the Holy Spirit. And remember, we're talking about now how God speaks. Number one will be the witness of the Holy Spirit. So is there anybody in this room who says, you know, we went through this teaching the last several weeks about when God speaks to us, but is there anybody in this room who wants to tune in a little bit better than what you've experienced as far as the voice of God? Is there anybody in this room who says, I want to be able to hear God any kind of way he wants to speak to me? Because remember, it's not just when he speaks. We need to understand the how he speaks. And if that's you, but you say, you know, I understand the need for this. I need to tune in. I want to get out of my head, and I want to tune in to hearing from God. I don't want to be bound by my own thoughts, my own ability to analyze. I want to hear God clearly. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. You created us, Lord, in such an incredible way. Father, I thank you for making this a reality to us, not something we just gather and understand in our head and try to grasp with our memory, God. Lord, I pray, help our spirits to truly come alive in you. Lord, that we hear what you're saying to us, the way you're saying it, God. Lord, we choose today, Lord, we say, God, take us out of the box. Take us out of the natural limitations, Lord, that mankind lives in. God, we know that we're not animals. You've called us to live far above the animals, God. You've created us in your own image. And Father, I pray, Lord, help us to open the ears of our spirit, Lord, to not only recognize when you speak, but to begin to recognize how you speak, Lord. And Father, I pray that by your grace, we will take the things that you're saying to us, Lord. We won't just walk out of a church building one more time and go about doing whatever it is we do, Lord. But we want to walk out of here, God, with a strong conviction, Lord, to obey you, to follow you, to lay our life down for you, to stop trying to defend ourselves before you, God, but to literally say, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, Lord, and I want to give everything to you. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, in this day, in this time, to recognize deception and delusion. Lord, to stop leaning to our own understanding, God, to stop rationalizing and allowing the enemy to give us his rational lies. Lord, help us to walk in true victory, which comes from hearing you speak. Lord, I know that as we hear you speak, faith arises in us. Lord, and we begin to actually make an impact on this dark world. Father, I thank you for a people that you have called. Lord, you have anointed. You have appointed, God. Lord, you have given them a purpose that goes beyond just trying to make a living, God. But you've given us a purpose, Lord, that is eternal, that makes an eternal difference. Oh God, I pray, cause a hunger, cause a thirsting to rise up within us, God, that we would not be satisfied until we know that the springs of living water, the spring of the Spirit, the rivers of the Spirit are flowing in and through us, God. May we never be satisfied with the natural, with the carnal. Oh God, give us a deep hunger for the things of the Spirit. We want to long for you. We want to long for you, God. We want those around us to long for you, Lord. We want to set such an atmosphere, God, to where when people get around us, they begin to thirst for you and hunger for you, God. Oh, Father, I pray, use your people in a supernatural way that gets them beyond their own natural limitations. Help us to live outside the box. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We know this is your will. We know this is your will. Thank you, Father. Ask the Lord to begin to fill you, to fill you. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for releasing that gift, Lord. You said if we asked for a fish, you wouldn't give us a snake. If we asked for a bread, you wouldn't give us a stone, God. I pray, Father God, pour out the gift. Pour out this gift upon your people once again, God. Loosen their tongue, God. Begin to rise up in their spirit, Lord. Ore baba satara dia na satara keteria. Yeso re moso torre baseta. Holy Spirit, take control. Take control of our lives. Take control. We yield to you. We yield to you, God. We lay down, Father, everything, Lord, that has tried to stumble us, that has tried to hold us back, God. Every offense, every feeling, every bit of self-survival, Lord, that has tried to keep us back from walking and living in the Spirit, we lay that down right now. We let the blood of Jesus wash over it. Lord, we thank you for freedom in this house, God. We thank you for liberty. Lord, flow through your people once again. Flow through your people, Lord God. Flow through your people. Rivers of living water, Lord. Flow through your people. Thank you, Father. Oh, kore ba si te re re ya satara la masote. Indore de ba kaso to re masite. Yeso to re ke si te re ya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We repent of leaning to our own understanding, God. We repent of that, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that you have made the mind of Christ available to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Fill your people, Lord. Saturate your people. Baptize your people again with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill every part of our life, God. Every crack, every crevice, God. In Jesus' name, go down the hallways of our heart, Father. Into every room, fill them with your Spirit, God. Fill them with your presence, oh God. Fill them with your glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fire of the Spirit, burn within us again. Fire, burn within your people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. Lord, I thank you for clarifying. For God, in our spirit man, opening our ears so that we might clearly hear what you're saying to us today, what you're saying to your church. Thank you, God. What a privilege it is to hear from you. What a privilege it is. Thank you, Father, that you have an open line of communication with those who want to hear from you. So we do thank you, God. It's a privilege. We count it a privilege. Lord, as we continue to learn and to hear these things, Lord, to be taught by your word, Father, I pray, God, help each one of us to truly put it into practice. Lord, we don't want to just be hearers, but we want to be doers. And we thank you for your grace to do so. All in Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen.